Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Gotta get dip. Gotta get dip, 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 dip.
Boom, boom, boom.
Gotta get dip.
Boom, boom, boom.
Gotta get dip.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. And one of the things that you mentioned was trailer parks. And what I've seen in research is a lot of communities are using this to rehab trailer parks to actually raise the property value of neighboring communities. And so you wouldn't be comfortable with the commercial use. What about high density where apartments
high would be density low? Probably could be something.
Okay.
Trailer parks. I think commercial is a bad idea personally. I don't want them down. You don't want them on Bio Boulevard.
So if you're, well, no, I wouldn't mind. And there's actually one right off of 12th Avenue that's really cute. There's five different homes in there and they're being used as VRBOs. It looks nice. I've never seen any problems. I drive by daily.
Ashley Hoffberger, Commissioner for District 4, had the gumption to ask the county commission to talk about having a tiny home ordinance. And I thought it was super brave of her. I love the idea of tiny homes, at least in certain circumstances. The commissioners, the four of them, were very opposed to this idea. That opposition showed up in various forms. If you want to listen to the setup for this, it was at 5 o'clock. But basically, Mike Kohler says, you know, we don't want it on our property. And Ashley's like, I want it on mine for a mother-in-law, for an ADU or an accessory dwelling unit. And, you know, they can be really nice. And so Mike kind of talked around this issue and said, well, you know, maybe trailer parks or in places where you have bad trailer parks, tiny homes would be an improvement. And, you know, their worry is that they're going to bring down property values and make neighborhoods look crummy. And my answer is, well, how does a small house make a neighborhood look crummy? It's the kind of house you build. And if it looks crummy, it looks crummy. And if it looks nice, it looks nice. And these are permanent things, and they're, you know, 500, 400 square feet. They could be a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller, but they're, you know, they are small. But to me, it's ownership. It's an accessible level of home ownership. It's equity. It's not renting. I'd rather have a tiny home next to me than apartments, frankly, because, you know, renters come and go, and we know the statistics are that renters are, you know, less great as neighbors. Somebody who actually owns their small home, what's the problem with that? Put them in my neighborhood. I do not care. I'm perfectly fine with it. But there was definitely a lot of NIMBYism on the board. Lumen May, who has been one of the chief opponents over the years, kind of dragging his feet and saying no on this kind of thing.
There's a difference between accessory dwellings where you put a tiny home or a shed behind your nice house as a mother-in-law suite, rather than making a planned community of tiny homes. Tiny homes, you know, don't solve the problem of our housing shortage when a family has three children and a single mom. I mean, it has a specific niche, and I think that's a niche that has to be addressed, but it certainly doesn't address our affordable housing issue.
Yes, it absolutely does. What are you talking about? No, it's not going to be for a family of five, but how about a single or a family of two or two with a baby while they look for a larger home? What do you mean this doesn't affect the affordability? Of course it does. They are much less expensive, you know, what, $50,000 to $100,000? That's much less expensive than a full-size house. It certainly is going to make an option for people who can't afford a full-size house and don't need one or don't need one yet, or, you know, a single widow or something like that. There's all kinds of people who could use it. I mean, saying it's a niche but it doesn't solve the problem is like not understanding what it means to solve a niche.
In terms of a family is not going to fit in a tiny home. And if they were to get in a tiny home, it would certainly not aid in their socialization process.
What? You know what most of the world lives in? I mean, most of the world does not live like us. And what's the difference fundamentally between somebody living in a small apartment or a studio or one bedroom and living in a tiny home? You know, I mean, square footage, but like, these things are not problems. These can be very good things.
And we can say whatever we want to say about tiny houses and trailers. We can't even put a tax credit project in some neighborhoods. If you don't believe it, do it and see how many people come from Myrtle Grove and say, we don't want that. It's NIMBY, not in my backyard. It's just the way it's, you know. And every time we get ready to pass one of those, just on affordable housing, mixed income use, this place is packed, and we never can get them passed. And that's the truth. And so when we look at these tiny houses, I'm open actually to looking at any neighborhood, any commissioner that wants to bring a project. And I'm sure there's pockets of my district that, you know, there can be a consideration for tiny homes. But to have a blanket ordinance that says that, you know, they can put them, because we know what happens where you put them. You put them in the neighborhoods where people have the least amount of resistance.
Or the neighborhoods where people don't have the money for full-scale housing, where, like, this can be a benefit to them and something that solves the problem. He says, you know, we're going to have these long meetings because people will push back every time. Okay, so find a solution that doesn't produce that. She's not saying put them everywhere. She's not saying make them available to every kind of zoning. She seems to be leaning towards, you know, high density, medium density, maybe commercial, because you can do it very well. What Lumen says is, I don't want to devalue people's property. I don't want to have these long meetings. And, you know, you wouldn't put them on Pensacola Beach, would you?
There are a lot of infield lots in District 3, but we own land on Pensacola Beach. So, you know, if we're going to take some infield land, you know, in the hood and put some tiny houses, let's take some somewhere else.
Hey, you know they'll rent them out.
Yeah, that's right.
She's right. If you took a lot out on Pensacola Beach and you put, you know, tiny homes on it, you'd make a VRBO paradise. People would love to stay in that.
Right, we'll put them there. Hey, listen, we can start. We take Santa Rosa Island Authority, reduce their size, and put some behind there. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities to put some houses there.
Jim's got a couple in his RV park.
Jim Reeves in his RV park has a couple, apparently. I did not know that, but it makes sense.
But we don't have an ordinance. Maybe we need to put code on him.
But I'm not against them. I think that there's a niche, but I think we can take them on a individual basis.
You sure do sound like you're against them for being somebody who says you're for them. We'll come back to this in a second. I want to get you all the commissioner's input. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident free right now. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Starting to see our normal congestion, construction delays, and Highway 29 southbound, just south of West 9 Mile Road. Seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area, and also Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10. About a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So what you've got is so far two commissioners have weighed in, Lumen May and Mike Kohler. Mike Kohler kind of says, I don't really like them. I don't want them next to me, but maybe in a high density area as opposed to trailer parks or apartments or trailer parks. Like, it's going to be better than that. Lumen seems to want to be on both sides of this, like he does a lot of times, but, you know, they're a niche. Well, the niche is for, you know, affordable, old, you know, single widows, or even a single couple, you know, or, you know, young people, certainly, or singles as well. Stephen Berry, District 5.
Commissioner, I think what you're hearing is, I don't think there's going to be any support for an ordinance or a change in ordinance or code. I think if you've got an idea for a project or a parcel or something specific like that, I think there could be some. Based on the comments of our colleagues, I think it sounds like there could be support for that.
Like, if you can do something in your district has come up a couple of times, then we might be willing to look at that.
You know, if you had based on, again, some comments from our colleagues, if you had a dilapidated trailer park where we've had, you know, code issues, there's drug issues, there's, you know, I know human trafficking is a thing in some of the trailer parks, and, you know, sex work. I mean, they're...
Sex work? Prostitution? Did you just call sex prostitution sex work? That's such a super liberal code word, sex workers. Okay, anyway.
Where those things are going on, and you have a cooperation with an owner that has that would like to put a tiny home community instead of have the trailer park there.
Yeah, and by the way, again, that's a kind of a developing theme is, you know, it's better than a trailer park. It's better than a rundown trailer park. What if you had a group of them clustered in a small community like you would allow for a trailer park? A tiny home where people actually own it and they're on a slab is going to be better than most trailers. And I lived, one of the best things I ever did was buy a trailer and, you know, bought it for $6,000, sold it for $6,000, maintained it, had 1,000 square feet. I mean, that was a great deal for me. But trailers usually lose value over time because they're a motor vehicle, usually is how they're classified. But a tiny home is built, you know, with 2x4s and drywall. I mean, it's meant to stay. It's storm resilient, all that stuff. Anyway, Stephen Berry is concerned that people are going to perceive worst-case scenario coming right next to them, and that's going to jam up the meeting room.
It's not what the reality. It's not what is actually going to happen. It's what's the worst thing that could happen now,
right?
And that would fill. I mean, that would fill the room. I mean, it's, you know, if you say in you know, anything MDR higher or any HDR, well, you know, it turns out, you know, John Doe lives here, and there's HDR, you know, 150 yards away from him. Well, he's going to fear there's going to be a tiny home community there, and then that's going to include every HDR community, every HDR parcel that we have in the county, and we'll have hundreds of constituents in all of our districts that have HDR close to them. I'm just using that as an example. So I think any category you tried to pick would have, well, what's the worst thing that could happen, and that's what people would fear.
So fear, he's worried that people are afraid and they're going to show up and jam up the meetings, and it's going to take a lot of time to talk about all these projects. People are going to be scared of coming in next to them. I think some people have that reaction. Other people won't.
Commissioner Berry, I think you're right. Fear is a big thing, and it is always worst case scenario, and I think we do have to consider that. So I appreciate that.
So three people so far are generally against, but allowing some daylight on particular scenarios. Steve Stroberger, District 1.
So I'm in favor of these tiny homes, but I'm also not in favor of them. I'm not in favor of my where I live. There's several properties around where I live.
Steve, put one on each side of your house.
You people really don't like your grandparents, do you?
Yeah. You people really don't like your grandparents, do you?
Hey, there are empty lots around my house.
People want to keep it.
I got empty lots around my house, and I would not enjoy seeing a bunch of tiny homes showing up on those lots.
But why? It's going to decrease property values. It's not like it's a comp for your house. Seriously, like we have a couple of undeveloped lots in our neighborhood. I would have no problem with them being tiny homes. None whatsoever. I guess I just don't get the bias. And I can see bad case scenarios. I also can see a lot of good case scenarios, but they're not talking about putting them in ordinary subdivisions. They're talking about, you know, clustering them in certain areas, maybe allowing them in communities or one, two, three, four here, there. I don't know why you can't put this in the zoning.
I think what you were talking about, Commissioner Hoffberger, was like a mother-in-law suite is what you're thinking about. That sounds great to me, too. And keep my mother-in-law outside my house.
Boy, your wife's going to beat you up, buddy.
I really hope she's not watching this.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think we need to look at areas where they've tried this, and I think New Orleans is one place that hasn't been successful.
Great suggestion.
I don't like clusters of these tiny homes because I don't want to create tiny ghettos. Where have they been successful? I don't know where they've been successful.
Tiny ghettos? What are we doing, putting walls around outside the, you know, what tiny ghettos? But no, it's a fair question. Where has it worked? What have other places tried? That's a reasonable thing to ask. Certainly, we're not the first to try this.
I like the idea of trailer parks or dilapidated areas. That would be okay. Any place where it would be an improvement, you know, and I've seen lots of places where we can make some improvements.
And by the way, just to clarify, we're not talking about on wheels. We're talking about on slabs. We're not talking about, you know, mobile homes or something like that when it comes to tiny homes. We are going to be on concrete. Horace Jones is the planning and development director.
This is, and I say it very, very diplomatically with a lot of diplomacy. I have questions all day long about different structures for zoning for homes. I have them from RVs to backyard sheds and where they want to go in any area. So those are the things that we have to consider. The area, the type, the size, the zoning.
And what he's saying is people, anytime there's any issue about some alternate kind of structure and the complaints that they get, I'm sure for code enforcement too, is for people who aren't maintaining their RVs, you know, Cousin Eddie kind of scenarios. I get that. I do. And again, I don't think it's likely that we're going to jump into having, you know, subdivisions where you have 1,500 to 2,500 square foot homes and then 50 tiny homes. That's, I don't think anybody's really talking about that. What I do think that Ashley Hoffberger is asking is, well, where can we find space to use this? Where are some places that we can do this where it might make sense? And you've seen some clusters. There's one on Garden Street. There's one on Pace. There's one on 12th. I haven't seen that one, but Ashley says. And, you know, what you often see is sort of a parcel of land that you might put one or two regular houses on, but you can put 8 or 10 tiny homes on and have kind of a maybe a community parking in the middle or maybe even a small circle, like a green space with parking around. But to me, they really make sense for an awful lot of situations. And even if you don't want them in your neighborhood, does that mean they can't go anywhere in the county?
Actually, I think that's what everyone's saying. Just bring it. Didn't have that conversation.
I like it. I appreciate the support. Thank you so much. And thank you for everyone's opinions and transparency. And when I talked to Allison, this is exactly what I wanted. I just wanted to know where everybody stood and what would be supported. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, that took a lot of courage to bring that up because it's a complicated issue.
Because I'm like Stroberg. I don't want it next to my house.
I don't either. I'll get tarred and feathered and start a league.
But I think she got enough good input, what you might consider as ammunition for building some kind of a project and or an ordinance that would take account of what was said and still solve the problem of allowing them in some places. So I'm a fan. I don't know if they need to go everywhere, but I'm a fan of having them in some places for sure. John Pickens has got, we're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. 724 here on News Radio 92.3. Text me your thoughts. I had a lot of people say, you know, tiny homes absorb scarce land. Well, if they're on full-size lots, which is not what anybody is talking about, smaller lots, clusters. Andrew, has anybody mentioned the tiny homes on Garden right across from Madonna's Bakery? Yeah, that came up in the conversation. Somebody says, I support tiny homes, but don't like how all the examples of locations are in the city. The ordinance would affect them. Well, that's because they were allowed in the city. They actually, the one that Jim Reeves built over there on Pace, they had to annex the property into the city in order to build the tiny homes because the county wouldn't allow them to happen, even though there have been a couple of them in the North End, or some people say they're building them without getting permitting. But, you know, that's been, yeah, they're only in the city for now. And the question is, well, why not in the county? John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Just seeing a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound as you approach Pensacola. Starting to see that congestion delay there, about 10 to 12 minutes. And let's see here, 98 westbound as you approach the Garcon Point Bridge, seeing about a 10 to 12 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Someone recently asked me, do you believe in guardian angels? And my answer is yes, but only for the Christian. In a rhetorical question, Hebrews 1:14 explains that angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So Christian person, since you're saved, an angel has been sent forth to minister to you. And remember, Psalm 103 explains that angels excel in strength. Angels are colossal beings. They are greater in power and might than the strongest of men. However, as strong as angels are, Jesus is stronger. As wonderful as it is to think about the many ways that angels serve us, Jesus served us in a far greater way by giving his life a ransom for us. Angels are created beings, and they're wonderful, but Jesus is the eternal creator God. So rejoice in Jesus today.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Think all art festivals are the same? Think Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola isn't your scene? Think you've heard all the music before, or that local theater is predictable? Well, fool around and find out. If you think you're not up for random adventures, can't be surprised anymore, or don't believe you can make memories around every corner, fool around and find out. At Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola, Florida, October 30th through November 10th, 2025. Visit foofoofest.com to learn more.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Joann Fabrics may be closed.
They're closed?
But you'll find all you need at Darrell's Sewing of Pensacola.
Darrell's?
Yes, Darrell's is the largest sewing and embroidery machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering lots of fabrics, sewing machine furniture, sewing and embroidery supplies, and notions. Financing is available, and there are lots of classes scheduled for this fall, so get registered now at sewinginpensacola.com.
That's Darrell Sewing of Pensacola?
Yep, at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, then I got a big bad bear story for you out there. I just rolled past a County Mountie roadblock down there.
You are a silver-tongued devil.
That's a big 10-4, good buddy.
Well, you keep your wheels spinning and the beavers grinning in, huh? I'm out.
I love that.
A couple of texts on the tiny home proposal that I hadn't gotten to yet. Somebody says, I like the idea of taking dilapidated trailer parks and improving them by putting tiny homes in instead. Yeah, I mean, it's clearly an upgrade compared to some housing, for sure. 437-1620. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. The east wing of the White House being demolished to make room for the new ballroom at the White House. President Trump said Wednesday that the entire east wing will be torn down to make space for that project. Secretary of State Marco Rubio in Israel today after criticizing an Israeli plan to annex the West Bank. That move would apply Israeli sovereignty to all settlements in the occupied Palestinian region. Rubio said it could derail the U.S.-backed ceasefire plan in place between Israel and Hamas. And OpenAI calling for the names of all people who attended the memorial service of a California teenager who committed suicide. Multiple reports say legal documents indicate OpenAI may issue subpoenas in the case of Adam Rain. Rain's family sued OpenAI, saying the 16-year-old took his own life after online discussions in ChatGPT.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. A couple more texts that come in on this tiny home thing. Somebody says, great job, Ashley. That's bold leadership. I agree. I think it was a great idea for her to bring this up. And honestly, to get the other commissioners talking about it, and frankly, the more they talked, the worse their position looked, I thought. Like, keep digging. You know, it's not good. So I like the idea. And somebody says a lot of HOAs have size restrictions anyway, so it wouldn't affect those neighborhoods already.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump inflicting economic punishment on Russian Vladimir Putin over the war in Ukraine.
These are tremendous sanctions.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House.
More than half of Russian oil exports have been slapped with new sanctions. You've got the Rosneft, which holds about 40% of Russia's oil production with a new sanction, and Lukoil, which holds about 15% of Russia's oil and gas production, slapped with a new sanction.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the sanctions are needed since Putin is refusing to end the war. On his way back to the U.S., Vice President J.D. Vance was asked about a vote by the Israeli lawmakers on annexing the West Bank.
If it was a political stunt, it was a very stupid political stunt, and I personally take some insult to it. The West Bank is not going to be annexed by Israel. The policy of the Trump administration is that the West Bank will not be annexed by Israel.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 54 degrees and sunshine. We've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson on the way in just a few minutes. Well, two plumbers from Larry Downs Jr. Plumbing in Pensacola assisted in capturing a suspected car burglar last week. Two plumbers were working on a water main leak at Northwood Apartments.
An individual was seen trying to pull door handles on vehicles in the parking lot. The owner of a pickup truck that he was trying to get into was made aware of this. She came outside and saw him. She then got into the truck and followed him through the parking lot.
And that's PPD's Mike Wood. The victim asked plumbers, the plumbers who were working in the parking lot, to call the police. They ended up chasing that suspect down and were threatened with a pipe. The incident was recorded on their Meta sunglasses. Police later arrested 22-year-old Eduardo Torres, who reportedly confessed to being in the country illegally from Venezuela. Torres is being held at the Escambia County Jail on around $10,750 bond and an ice hold. Well, good news if you've got Progressive auto insurance. A check is in the mail. Governor Ron DeSantis announced yesterday that Progressive's insurance profits hit more than $2 billion. That means state regulations are forcing them to return some of the money to policyholders.
You've been with Progressive this whole time. You're going to get a bigger rebate, and it might be a check, it might be a credit on your bill, but the average across Florida policyholders is going to be a $300 rebate.
And that money will go to active clients as of December 31st. Other major auto insurers are expected to be following suit. A man that was held hostage by Hamas, sharing his story of courage and resolve, Omar Shem Tov, was in Broward County yesterday speaking at the Shabbat of Weston. He talked about spending more than 500 days in captivity. Tov said that he remembered being in darkness most of the time and the extreme starvation that he had to endure. He credited his faith for keeping him alive even as he saw others pass away. Tov told CBS News that he's dreaming of peace, and he hopes to see that dream come true very quickly. Florida Senator Rick Scott wants to stop Chinese students from coming to America to study. Scott sent a letter yesterday to President Trump asking him to immediately suspend new visa approvals for students from China. Scott says the nation has a track record of stealing American intellectual property and research at universities. Scott estimates there's currently 300,000 Chinese national students enrolled in American universities. 7:35 at News Radio, 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We will have a beautiful day today, starting off on the chilly side in the 50s, warming up near 79 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Going into Saturday, a bit more cloudy with a high near 79 degrees, and by Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. Beautiful morning, sunshine, 56 degrees right now, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Starting to see our congestion construction delays, about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound starting around 10 Mile Road, approaching the 9 Mile intersection, and then south of that heading down toward I-10. You're seeing about a 12 to 15 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound as you approach Pensacola, seeing just about a 10 to 11 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 7:35, our next news at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump said he expects to reach a trade agreement with Chinese President Xi Jinping when they meet in South Korea next week. That could range from resumed soybean purchases by Beijing and limits on nuclear weapons. Tesla has reported a 12% increase in third quarter revenue following two straight periods of declines. However, earnings missed analyst estimates, pushing the stock down almost 5%. Automotive revenue increased 6% to $21.2 billion. That's up from $20 billion in the year-ago period. Reuters reports the Trump administration is considering limiting exports of products using American software to China, such as laptops and jet engines. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent confirmed that those options are on the table. Bessent is set to meet Chinese Vice Premier He Lefang in Malaysia later this week for trade talks. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 334. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants are backed by over 200 years of combined experience.
We've helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share.
With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs.
And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies to give your business an edge.
Let's make this a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station,
the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, or Pensacola Playlist 94.5. For reaching women and lifestyle audiences.
Or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call today to get started. Call Jeff Wayne at 850-262-6000.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us now. Hey, Mike, what's going on, sir? Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Fortunately, not much is going on.
I'll take it. That's always good. Whenever I talk to the cops and they're like, nothing's happening, like, sweet, I'll take it. It's kind of an odd question, but it had come up in a news article I was reading, and only because you guys are involved in this switching over of the firearms, going from the Glock 45 to the Glock 22, I think is the way it's going. I may have that backwards, but from the 40 millimeter to the 9 millimeter plus the red dot sight. Do I have that right? From the 45 to the 22?
No, you have it backwards.
Backwards, from the 22 to the 45. Okay, I knew I did as soon as I said it.
Right.
In any case, the story was that Glock, because of the California prohibition on selling ones that are compatible with the Glock switches, which, by the way, have we seen that in the city? Have we seen people having Glock switches? No. Okay. I know it's been occasional in the county, but very occasional. Anyway, they prohibit sales, and then there was a story running around that Glock was actually going to discontinue a bunch of their traditional platforms because they are of the type that California bans. But there was some discrepancy over whether Glock had actually said this or whether it was just a rumor or what. And I couldn't verify it one way or the other. So my question to you is, is this changeover that you guys are in the process of doing, is it already accomplished, and is it affected at all by this, whatever's going on?
It's still in progress. I believe we'll have it completed in mid-November, but I'm not aware of any issues related to what you're talking about affecting us.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah, and when I tried to look, it seemed like maybe even if it was going to affect, you know, commercial production for, you know, civilians, that it's still, they would have their whole law enforcement category and, of course, you know, whatever else they do. So I didn't think it would affect, but I wanted to check because I, you know, I hate to see the idea of my cops being interfered with because of some weird development in the production of handguns. Anything happen over the last week or so that we ought to know about? Maybe something at Wahoo Stadium? Is that what you were telling me before we got on?
Yeah, that happened Tuesday night. We've had this happen again, and for some reason, young folks around Pensacola think that because that's an outside venue that it's just okay to hop the fence and go play on third base or up in the stands and things like that, and it's not. It's a criminal offense. That is an enclosed area. Obviously, there's walls. There are gates, and you can't go in there. So it happened again Tuesday night. Four people, I believe three teenagers and an adult, were in there, were caught inside there, and they were charged appropriately with trespassing. They didn't hurt anything or steal anything, but we just want to say again that it's a close. It's private property, and you can't be in there. And I don't think that anybody that's gone in there after hours has not been caught. Without going into the detail on how we know that you're in there, we just do. And it's not a good idea to jump that wall and go in there to play.
Okay, yeah, I don't want to give away your methods and tactics, sources and methods or whatever, but, you know, I think we can all infer probably you have ways of knowing that would indicate the presence of people, and you've found all the ones who have been there, so I appreciate knowing that. We had this wild story involving Larry Downs Jr., of course, local political, I don't know, agitator, activist, I don't know what you want to call him exactly. He's a friend, but his kids, who are part of his plumbing business, were doing a plumbing job, and what happened? This is a wild story.
Well, they, in the words of Channel 3, they helped us crack the case. They were on site working on a
you did not
a plumbing issue.
You
on the
did
lot.
Not just say that.
No, I did not. I did not. This is creative writing by the staff at Channel 3, and when I saw that, I knew the comments were going to start rolling in, and they absolutely did.
Oh, that's fantastic. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you know Mr. Downs, I'm sure that he didn't have an issue with that at all.
No.
He has a sense of humor as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he does.
But yeah, they were working on and up in Northwoods when a female came outside. She was made aware that there was a person trying to get into her pickup truck. She saw him, and he started walking away to where the plumbers were working. She asked him for assistance and told them that he just tried to get into her pickup truck. They followed him. He ended up picking up a piece of PVC that belonged to them and threatened them with it. So eventually he put that down and ran off into the woods. Officers were able to locate him a short time later at a church near that location and was able to take him into custody.
Using what, a drone and a dog and a canine, is that right?
Yes, we had the drone. We had a canine over there. We had the assistance from the sheriff's office. And he was located and charged.
Very good. We'll talk about this a little more in just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood, the PIO from the Pensacola Police Department. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, starting to see some congestion delays, about a 9 to 11-minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound as you approach Pensacola, about a 10 to 11-minute delay in there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Very good. John, back to Mike Wood, the PIO for PPD. We're talking about this case where the basically the woman found out that her truck was getting burgled, and she comes out. The guys leave as she starts yelling at him, but he leaves right in front of two of Larry Down Jr.'s kids who are working on a project, and a plumbing project, and she, asks them for help, and then they help, and they kind of get into a little bit of a mini scuffle. What I think is amazing is, you know, like Larry's a big MMA guy, and I'm assuming that his kids he's taught them some of that stuff. So probably picked a poor fight choice here, but it can be a dangerous situation if you get into a fight with somebody you don't know or you pursue them. Like, they didn't want to pursue him into the woods because they don't know if he's armed, right?
Yeah, and that was a very smart decision on their part. This is a decision you have to make when someone asks you for assistance. You have to look at the totality of the circumstances, just like we do and everybody does. And they decided at that point that it was safe to follow him. But once he went into the woods, then that can present other problems. You don't know if he'd just taken something out of another vehicle, maybe even a weapon of some sort. So that's a decision that you have to make. And it looks like they made the right one. And, you know, it's a good thing that are people that are still around that will help their fellow man in times of distress.
Amen.
But you do have to take everything into consideration before you do that.
In fact, you know, some people might have the question, do you have to help? Are you obligated to help? Maybe they saw the last episode of Seinfeld and they think, oh, man, you can get arrested for being the indifferent standby. Are you obligated to help? It's like in that case, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, they're good kids. They're going to do what's right and they're going to help a woman out. But are you obligated to do it? What kind of legal status do you have when somebody asks you like that?
Well, can we slip into this week's myth?
Sure.
Right now, can we?
Because I still have a follow-up question about the crime, but sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So the myth is that you must help. So here's where the confusion is. You do not have to help in a situation like what happened up at the apartment complex. You do have to help if you come up on, say, a traffic crash where someone is injured and you can't just pass by that. You must render aid. But you do not, if somebody asks you for help, if somebody just broke into their car, you do not have to jump in and do that because, again, you never know that person may have just, you know, it would have been different to these two plumbers yesterday if that lady would have said, this man just stole a gun out of my truck. That changes everything. So you do not have to help in situations like that. However, you do, by law, have to help if a police officer asks you to intervene to assist him or her in the effecting an arrest.
Really? Interesting. So, I mean, I would, of course, but if a cop says, hey, help me, you can't say no?
That's correct. You can be charged with that.
Interesting. Okay, yeah,
and
I bet.
You can also be charged if you see someone injured, if you see someone injured and you fail to render aid, you can also be charged with that. But helping somebody who just broke into your home or to your vehicle or, helping you, please help me change a tire, those type situations, you do not have to. There's no law that says that you must help in those situations.
Wow. I don't think I knew that. I mean, it's not anything contrary to what I would have done, but it's good to tell people that because, I mean, I'm sure if I didn't know, a lot of people didn't know it. I do have a question, though. The reporting indicated that maybe this person, this detainee suspect, whatever, was here illegally. Do you know anything about that or have we confirmed anything like that?
I don't know. We were made aware of that, but that was not something that we could confirm at the time.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I have a question on a completely different topic, only because, you know, we had the No Kings protests, of course. I know you are well aware of what happened in Fairhope. And since it's, you know, police enforcement, or, you know, what I would say would be overstepping enforcement, I'm sure you guys have had conversations about what to do the next time we have a protest here in Pensacola. Any part of this that would yield guidance that you want to give to the public ahead of time in case somebody says, oh, well, I saw what we did over there, you know, let's try something like that in Pensacola. Anything you want to tell us?
No. you know, that's a situation that it's going to have to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. I can understand both sides of that situation.
Yeah.
But we have to enforce the law the way it's written. And each situation that pops up, we will have to look at that and decide if there's being, you know, if rights are being taken away or if laws are being broken. We have to decide that on a case-by-case basis. So for me to speculate if something like that happens in Pensacola would probably be inappropriate at this point.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Worth asking about. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, clarifying things, teaching us the law, teaching us how to, you know, I mean, like, we learned two things about the law today that maybe people didn't know, so I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again next week, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
751 here on News Radio 92.3. Crack the case.
And yes, he did go there.
He sure did. In the back of my head, what I'm always thinking is, you know, I always have about 40 voices running around in my head, the perspectives of different people and how they react to things that I say. And I'm always just thinking, like, the, you know, there's some 10-year-olds in the car, like, why are they laughing about that, Mom? It's not dirty. It's just funny. Oh, man. All right. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty do a great job of this. You know, one of the things I was talking with her the other day, I said, what can I tell people about you that I don't already tell people? And she said, honestly, you know, one of the things that we're seeing a little bit more frequently now is people who go to a realtor and can't get their home sold. Because the market is not as easy as it was a couple of years ago. And she said, in fact, we've had several people come on as clients with us where they've had one, two, as many as five other realtors try to sell their home and not succeed. And they come to us and we figure it out and we get their home sold. And that's it. I mean, you know, they're just really, really good at this. And I know sometimes, you know, sometimes, honestly, and I've talked with her about this before, that one of the things she's really good at is setting expectations. And if she thinks that you're being unrealistic in what you're asking, she'll tell you. I mean, and to really set your proper parameters for success, you know, she wants to make the sale. She doesn't want to waste her time, doesn't want to waste your time. It just is true that some people are sort of conflict averse and they don't want to mention that. And, you know, that's a problem because then everybody's unhappy. She wants everybody to be happy. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not. Regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits.
Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I think this situation absolutely requires a really futile and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part.
We're just the guys to do it.
Generally speaking, I can never get enough Red Hot Chili Peppers. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3 or Animal House, either way. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. One accident on the books right now, Softly Field Road and Mobile Highway. No roadblock associated with that one, but I'm starting to see some slowdowns in that area. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing those construction delays there. Looks like Highway 90 is looking good. Avalon Boulevard. If you were on 98 westbound approaching Gulf Breeze, expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. At least half of U.S. states are planning to cut food assistance benefits November 1st because of the government shutdown. The loss of assistance could affect millions of low-income citizens. About 25 states have sent out notices to people on SNAP benefits that checks won't be coming in next month. And I believe about 3 million people in Florida could be affected by this as well. Hold on here. I lost my
scrolling.
Page. Lost
scrolling.
My page. Scrolling alert there. I need a scroll.
Loading.
I need a scroll button next
circle,
to the cough
circle
button.
Of waiting. Preparation.
Yeah, Senate, patience. The Senate again rejected a measure yesterday, Andrew, that would end the government shutdown. This comes after Oregon Democrat Jeff Merkley spoke on the floor for over 22 hours. Senate Democrats refuse to vote for a House funding resolution unless it includes subsidies for health insurance.
I only know this because I live there. It's Markley.
Well, thank you very
You're
much. Appreciate that. Sean Diddy Combs apparently is reportedly lucky to be alive after an incident in prison. A longtime friend tells the Daily Mail that an inmate armed with a shiv snuck into Diddy's cell and put the knife up to his throat. Yeah. Diddy's lawyer said or mentioned that incident during his sentencing hearing, saying a guard stopped it from escalating further.
I mean, that had gotten pretty far already. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:58, News Radio 92.3. The Trump administration says they're releasing $3 billion in aid to support farmers. Remember we talked with Ron Jenkins about this? About how the agency that disperses money to them on the basis of their crop expectations every fall had not been doing that because of the shutdown. And he said it was killing them on top of a difficult year because they're kind of expecting that money to come in. And then because the shutdown happened during, you know, harvest season, had it happened in December or March, it wouldn't have mattered. But it happened right smack dab in the middle of harvest season when this is all starting to hit. It was a real problem. Well, $3 billion is supposed to go to help. I'll find out from him whether it's going to be enough at the moment to help them or how much problem that's going to cause. But I guess, you know, that's good news of a sort. It's better than it was, for sure. The magnet school is kind of an interesting one over at PHS, the 7th and 8th grade middle school, first magnet that Escambia County has built in like two decades. We should have more magnet schools. Everybody wants to get into them. Build more. I mean, you know, literally the school district is looking for ways to keep the kids they have and not lose more and do a better job of educating the ones that we have. magnet schools, man. You know, like I know back with Malcolm Thomas, he was always kind of against that idea, but convert to magnet school. Magnet school just means that anybody anywhere in the county can go, and you already have choice. You can go anywhere, but it's different because the idea is just not geographically limited. Alternate teaching methods, more innovative teaching methods, designed to be a more effective environment. And they are. I mean, we put our kids in Brown Barge. One thought about the PHS thing, though, is if these kids are supposed to be like kind of the IB program feeder system is kind of the idea there, and it's a middle school, why not also sixth grade? Why seventh and eighth grade only? I'm sure there's an explanation, but it's kind of weird. Like some of these kids would go to like Brown Barge for a year and then go to the PHS middle school.
Local talk.